Here and Now is a production of PRI and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now, Public Radio's daily podcast of news and culture. Congress gives itself a pass on ethics reform. That was the editorial in today's Tennessean. Earmark bill, barely better than nothing, is how the Rocky Mountain News put it. And the New York Times dips into Dickens with The Ghosts of Corruption Present. Editorial pages around the country are taking aim at Congress for what they characterize as anemic attempts to rein in corruption on Capitol Hill. Why all the fuss? Well, consider this. In 1987, President Reagan vetoed a transportation funding bill because it had 152 earmarks. Those are pet projects that often help lawmakers curry favor in their home districts. Well, President Reagan's veto was overturned, but by comparison, last year's highway bill set aside 6,371 such earmarks. Well, we wanted to spend some time today learning more about earmarks and failed efforts at reforming them, so we've invited congressional correspondent Gail Chadwick of the Christian Science Monitor to help us do that. Welcome, as always, Gail.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And we wanted to start by talking about efforts at ethics reform in general, because last we checked, lawmakers had promised to pass comprehensive reforms. You know, there were several scandals, one linked to powerhouse Republican lobbyist Jack Abramoff, and then the latest fallout of that case came last week with Representative Bob Ney of Ohio pleading guilty to multiple charges, including conspiracy to commit fraud. So what happened? There was all this brouhaha that there was going to be reform. What happened?
Well, it's been very interesting to watch because when especially the Republican House and Senate leaders came back at the start of this session of Congress, everyone was talking about moving quickly on lobby and ethics reform. The conviction of Representative Randy Duke Cunningham for accepting, what, $2.4 million in bribes connected with his earmarks on the defense bill.
He's a Republican from California. He's now serving time in prison.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It really shook up people, and they expected that there would be a great public reaction to this. What I think happened is that there wasn't. When lawmakers really hear from their constituents, they react quickly. You can see that in an interesting example we might talk about later, a bill that was blocked in the Senate that would have opened up transparency to both earmarks and government spending and contracts. That was blocked. Some bloggers got on top of it and created a real buzz about the issue, and the holds were dropped and the bills passed very quickly. Mm-hmm. Now, there had been no expectation that that would happen, and yet when there was a tangible sign that the public was concerned, it did. But they are not, members of Congress are not seeing pushback from the public on these corruption issues.
Well, they might.
They might
hear a little more. So let's because some of this is astonishing. As we said, over 6,000 earmarks in just the one highway bill. But let's talk a little bit about these earmarks, because there has been some movement on legislation. You know, sort of at least putting some sunshine, is the way it's referred to, on those. They're often referred to as pork barrel projects. The most notorious one in the past year was the so-called Bridge to Nowhere in Alaska. We remember this, $223 million set aside for a bridge to an island where about 50 people live, just so they wouldn't have to take a ferry. So tell us, first of all, you just mentioned the Senate bill. Tell us what the legislation is on earmarks. Start with the House.
What the House did was require that earmarks be disclosed, that they actually be listed before members vote on a bill, and as importantly, that their sponsors be disclosed. Some of your listeners may know that there's a whole cottage industry out there of public interest groups who spend, you know, 6, 7, 8 months a year just trying to figure out what the earmarks are in a bill. They're buried. And then finding out the sponsor can be even more difficult, because you have to identify what district the earmark mm-hmm. is located. Suddenly, all of that is going to be available kind of instantly, and members will see it before a vote. Now, the reason this is so disappointing to people is that it only really applies to earmarks that are in spending bills, appropriation bills.
You were just explaining, you know, these earmarks, the earmark measure from the House, it's just a rule. It's as opposed to law, but it would require some special interest projects that are slipped into bills to carry the names of their sponsors. But as you point out, one of the problems is that this rule would not cover defense contracts. Am I understanding that?
No, for this year it wouldn't, because the House has already passed that bill. For this year, it covers only the Health and Human Services bill. Now, next year, if the rule is renewed, and people do say that they expect it will be, that it would be hard not to renew it because the public would notice a vote to eliminate a source of transparency. But even this year, it would help a little bit with something with Duke Cunningham's, I think, most notorious activity, which was adding some of his favors for defense contractors at the very last minute in a conference report, which couldn't be, they couldn't be taken out. You would have to vote the entire bill down, even if you knew they were there, but they didn't know they were there. But this year, when the defense bill comes before the House again, after they agree on the Senate version with the Senate, you will know anything that's been added. It'll be very clear. So this is an improvement, but it doesn't begin to get at the range of concerns that members were talking about only about 6 months ago. You know, for example, gifts from lobbyists, trips from lobbyists, plane travel from lobbyists, family members lobbying members, former staff having special access, corporate jets. Now, there's a whole range of issues brought up by the corruption scandal around Jack Abramoff that you saw last week in the guilty plea of Ohio Congressman Robert Ney. I mean, this is stuff people can understand. Free meals, expensive golf trips, and particular favors that lawmakers do. So I think this is what reformers had hoped for in this ethics package, but members are nowhere near this in either body at this point because they just don't think that there will be a penalty if they don't do it.
Well, and you wrote a piece recently about the growing influence of K Street. This is where these Washington lobbyists who push these earmarks are based. Can you tell us how the number of lobbyists and their influence has grown?
Well, one of the things I was looking at in this series is the new specialty on K Street. Instead of just, you know, helping a client change energy policy, the number of lobbyists who deal with something called directed appropriations, another term for earmark, getting something written into a bill that will help just you and you alone, that's more than doubled in the last 7 years, from about 1,500 to 4,000 lobbyists. And, you know, your listeners can just go to the web and look up the names of the top lobby firms and see this. I mean, they brag about the number of appropriations that they get that aren't in the president's budget. That's a code word for earmarks. That they promise that even with retainers of thousands of dollars a month, the earmark they get you will more than cover the costs. And I was especially interested in how colleges and universities are getting into this. This is a fairly recent thing, dates to the mid-'80s. When colleges and universities, BU is a perfect example. President John Silber was very instrumental in getting lots of money to BU through earmarks. His case was, look, all of the good research money is going to Harvard and MIT. You know, what are we, a potted plant? You know,
and by the way, I should point out, too, Boston University here in Boston holds the license to WBUR, which is the member station where we produce Here and Now, so we're listening closely.
Well, I wasn't going to say a single nasty thing about BU.
And they're not a potted plant.
But
they're saying, well, you know, why not us?
Right. And so you have, for example, when Senator Thad Corcoran from Mississippi took over chairmanship of the Senate Appropriations Committee, suddenly the University of Southern Mississippi is getting lots of earmarks and targeted appropriations, more than they had before. But it raises an interesting problem. If we have only X amount of money to spend on, you know, health funding or, you know, research in new energy sources, should it go to on the basis of merit, sort of peer review, or should it go through this special backdoor process? How does this change even the whole notion of tenure? It used to be that the tenured professor, the one who could bring a lot of good research money to the university, did it because, well, they were smart, and that was demonstrably true in some way. But if If now it's political connections that determine research money and tenure, what is that doing to the fabric of education? So earmarks, even though they don't look like a lot of money compared to a federal budget that's, what, $2.5 trillion, you know, $29 billion is a rounding error. But it's what they do to the culture. That's what is so interesting to me politically about earmarks and why I think there's so much interest in reform by those who are focused on it.
Gail Shattuck, congressional correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. We're going to wrap up here by noting that you also did a story about Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia and how he had steered $3 billion to West Virginia in the form of earmarks. And you note on the bright side, the sunlight on the topic side, that there is a move for greater accountability on the parts of universities. And there's something now, the searchable database, so that people can now at least go in and look, and it may fall short of what critics like yourself want to see through rules on in the House. You can now search and see where some of the government's money is going.
By next year, you'll be able to. This was an undercovered story, and I think it has tremendous potential to change the culture on all the issues we've been talking about.
Gail Shattuck, a congressional correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, talking to us about lobbying reform and or the lack of reform and earmarks and the many earmarks on Capitol Hill. Gail, thanks as always.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Here and Now is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Tune in weekdays at noon for live, up-to-the-minute news from around the world, and visit our website, here-now.org, for more on today's top stories. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.